Thank you, Anne. It's really nice to be here today to see all the women. You know, I drink tea. I actually drink tea sometimes 2 or 3 times a day. For some reason, it's always hot tea, not cold tea. But you know what? I've never been to a ladies' tea, so this is really nice for me to be able to come to this tea and see all the hats and see all the women all dressed up. And I was thinking today about what was special about getting together with women, because I love women's ministry. I think getting together with our spouses, our husbands, and male friends is just wonderful, but there's nothing like getting together with women of like mind. Personally, I am energized by it. And, you know, I was thinking today that when you get a group of women together, you can have your lipstick smudge the glass and no one will think anything of it. You know, no one will feel badly if your lipstick smudges the glass. And so everywhere you look today, you'll see lipsticks on cups and glasses. And women, you can relax. You don't have to wipe it off. So today, I wanted to talk with you about connecting and what that means. In the early 90s, Larry Crabb wrote a book called Connecting. And in the book, he talks about the healing, transforming power that takes place when Christians connect with one another. And we connect with people every day because we live in community. When we go to church, school, go to the gym, Bible study, the supermarket, or just walk in our neighborhoods, we are always connecting with people. And perhaps if you were to stop and think for a minute, you can remember someone with whom you have connected and someone whose relationship, someone whose friendship has impacted your life in a very special way. Because when we connect with one another, something happens. When we connect with people and share our story, we form a bond. And if you think about one person who has impacted your life, you remember that first time that you connected with him or her, and how the friendship grew and blossomed. And I love the concept of connecting, because we live in a world of disconnect. We live in a world that is hurried, that's busy, and if we're not careful, we will just find ourselves going and going and going, and we won't stop to connect. I want to take the concept of connecting a step further, to talk about not just connecting with one another in community, not just connecting with one another in our homes, but connecting with God. The foundational truth is that God loves us. He has a divine plan for each of us. And when he created you, he had a plan in mind. Trust me, he had a master plan. He was not planless. He has your entire life mapped out. And Anne, if you, Anne, could you please just grab my, I have a little red, my little prop is back there. He has a master plan for each of us. And the wonderful thing about God is he will not force you to accept his plan. He will not force me to accept his plan. And so we are free to choose. We can choose to accept his plan, his divine plan, and connect with him, or we can simply decide that we don't want it. That's fine too, because we have that choice. When I talk about connecting with God, I liken it to a piece of chicken. If you look in this Ziploc, you will see a piece of chicken breast. And in this Ziploc, I have peppers, I have garlic, I have onions, I have some balsamic vinegar, I have chives, there is salt, there is pepper, and there are herbs and spices that is being infused into this piece of chicken. If you look at this piece of chicken, and we all can relate to chicken, oh, and by the way, if you're a vegetarian, I used to be a vegan. Let's pretend it's tofu. Okay? If you look in this bag looks just like this bag. And they both have the same chicken. But the difference is this chicken is being infused every second with the spices. And if I were to cook it when I go home, the taste would be drastically different to this piece of chicken. Why? They may look alike, but they're not alike. This chicken is connecting with nothing but the bag, and it's flavorless and it's tasteless. When you and I come to Christ, I was thinking the other one night about 2 weeks ago about this. And I thought, you know, when we come to Christ, He takes us when we connect with Him initially, and He puts us in a Ziploc bag. And He begins to infuse us with Himself. And He begins to marinate us so that we can begin to look like Him. God is all about reshaping us. He's all about replicating us to be like Himself. But this requires that we connect with Him. In Romans 12, verse 1, it says that in view of God's mercy, we should offer ourselves as living sacrifices, which is a reasonable act of worship. That once we connect with God, we no longer conform ourselves to this world, but we are being transformed by the renewing of our minds so that we can test and approve what God's will is, His good and perfect will. So, God takes you and He puts you in the Ziploc bag. And you know, He creates a different marinade for each of us, depending on what your issues are. Oh, and by the way, every one of us has issues. Some more than others. And you know what? I used to think I didn't have any until I got married. I really didn't know I had so many. But when you begin to live closely with someone, everything comes out. And you know they will love you. Your impatience, my anxiety, my wanting everything neat, and my husband always dropping things on the floor. And so, you know, I began to learn a lot about myself. I grew up as an only child, and when you don't have anyone to rub you the wrong way, you think you're fine. But when you begin to move in community, that's when you realize all your flaws. And that is why we need community, honest community, true community, good community, healing community, a community that will help you to be transformed. Because, you know, women, each of us has something to offer. We live in community. But think what would happen if only one person came to this table, if no one came to that table. Something would be missing. And by ourselves, we're lacking. We need people to come around us. We need people to be examples to us. I look in this room and I see women. I see them at Women of the Word. And you know what? They amaze me. I look at them and I admire them. Because they have lived and they have walked. And they have something to say. And so God has a distinct marinade for each of us. And I was thinking that the marinade that God has for us is to infuse us and to make us like Him. But I think it's not to prep us for stardom, but to season us for service. When God infuses us, it's not so that we can become preppy, celebrity-like Christians, but it's so that we can be seasoned to serve one another. When God works in you and you begin to glow, it's not so that you can shine for you. It's so that you can shine for Him. I had a strong, independent will. And God had to really work on me, and He's still working on me. And I really think that strong independence is largely due to my heritage. Because my grandparents taught me that if you want something, you have to earn it. You have to work for it. When I was a little kid, they told me about the value of hard work, about the value of taking care of your things. And I grew up with not a lot. And so I told myself when my mom first came to America, my mom looked at me and she said, Janet, you're in America. And if you can't make it in America, you can't make it or you won't make it anywhere. She said, you're in America and this is the land of opportunity. And you can make it here if you work hard. And I remember the second thing she said. She said, always find a way to give back. I remember. And so I had this strong determination. And I wanted to live life my way. I had a plan for my life. And perhaps you can think about a time when you had a plan for your life. And you know what, if you're honest, your plan that you had, chances are it's nothing like what it is now. And you know, my plan did include God, but only enough to keep me out of hell. I knew I didn't want to go to hell, but that's as far as it went. And I remember going to college at 17 and working really hard and putting myself through school. And I remember my professor saying, you can make it. And I wanted to be a journalist. And I would watch TV, and I would look at Peter Jennings, and I would look at Tom Brokaw, and I thought, I am going to get both of them into me, and I am going to become Peter Jennings and Tom Brokaw in one. And I used to think, wait, this Jamaican girl, having both of them epitomized in me would be great. And so I worked. And I got free voice lessons. Fran Lashoto, I remember that woman. She was the one who coached Governor Dukakis when he was running for president. And she gave me free voice lessons. And I thought I could do it. And you know what? God did allow me to get the credentials and allowed me to work. And then I feel like God said, you know what? Enough. I'm going to change things around for you. And I began to connect with him. But I feel like God must have called the angels or had a discussion in the heavens and said, you see that one over there? She's really stubborn. Really stubborn. And I think in my marinade there was Tabasco sauce. I really do. And there was chipotle peppers, a scotch bonnet, and garlic, and onions, and lots of pepper. And I felt like at times God had his hand in the Ziploc bag. Because in the Ziploc bag, there is suffering. Make no mistake. Christians who glow, they've suffered. Ask the people whose lives epitomize Christ to the fullest, and they have a story to tell. And I do not even put myself in their category. But I knew I was in the Ziploc bag. And sometimes, it's a long time. And, you know, there was a time when I thought, oh, I've been through enough. I've been processed enough. Because it is a process. The longer this meat stays in the bag, the more infused it will become and the better it will taste. The longer you allow God to infuse you, the more flavor you will give off. The more of his beauty people will see. And the more like him you will become. And I thought that I had been in the Ziploc bag long enough. But each time God would add a little bit more Tabasco sauce and a little bit more onions. Because his goal for me was to quell my independence. See, salvation was hard for me because I didn't have to work for it. I didn't want anything for free. I didn't want people to have anything over me. And I don't know why, but I wanted to do it all. I wanted to earn everything. And God had to begin to show me that it doesn't work that way in his kingdom. And I still struggle. Doreen can tell you. I really do. But that's what community is like. And God has you in the Ziploc bag. And every time you want to come out, that's why you need to get connected. Because every time you want to come out, and every time that you would want to come out of the Ziploc, that you will think you have done it all, that God has done what he needs to do. And you need people, good people, who themselves are in the Ziploc, to help to say, no, hey, I haven't seen you at group. You're not smiling like you used to. Is everything okay? People who love you, people who care, people who are not there to judge you, but to help to lead you to become more like Christ. And I'm telling you, you cannot stay in the Ziploc by yourself. If you think you can, you won't stay in the Ziploc, because the Ziploc has suffering in it. And you know the thing, I was thinking about onions and the peppers and everything. By themselves, they don't taste good. But when they're cooked together with the meat, there's a blend that takes place that's flavorful. And all of you, if not most of you, have cooked chicken, so you know what I mean. The question is, how do you stay in the Ziploc when you're tempted to come out? You have to connect. Because in the Ziploc, you have to connect with God. How do you connect with him? It's through his word. You can't connect with someone you don't know. That's why we talk to one another. That's why we share together. That's why we spend time, so that we can come to know each other. And you know, I know some people think that praise and worship is everything, but I'm telling you, women, we have to study the word of God. And that's why going to Bible study, women of the word, something, you have to find a way to come together, to connect. And the summer is over. It's never going to come back. Next summer is 2010, but the summer is almost over. It's time for us to plug in. Because you know what? If we think that we will be have the morale and the zest, the enthusiasm to press through by ourselves, we won't. We need people to help us. Even if it's a home Bible study, you need that. We need that so that we can stay connected. We can't worship one whom we do not know. And in order to stay in the Ziploc, we need humility. I will tell you that there were times this summer, I love my small group. I really did. Debbie and Doreen were the leaders. And I will tell you, you know how I started coming to Women of the Word? It was Karen's husband, Steve. I was on the treadmill one day, and he's a big guy, but a very, very warm man. And he started talking with me. He was the first one to suggest coming to Women of the Word. And I came along after he mentioned it. But he stopped doing what he was doing to tell me about Women of the Word. And that time, you all were meeting in the other building. And then Lisa Aldley invited me. What am I saying? You never know what a word spoken to someone can do. Do not underestimate the power that you have to connect people to God. You are God's conduit. If you don't do it, who will? It was Steve. He's not a woman. He's a man. He was possibly moving chairs or stacking something, and he stopped. And now whenever we see each other, we talk. But there was a time when we just started talking, and now we can help ourselves. If we see each other, it's just natural to stop and talk. That's what we do. But it's going to require something of you. You have to stop. We can't connect with people when we just pass them by. And we certainly can't connect with God subconsciously. It's never subconscious. Our walk with God is a conscious, willful act. The more we connect with him, the more he will give you things to do. The more he will shape you. The more he will form you. The more he will chisel you. Do you see those bodybuilders? They're chiseled and they are cut. It takes time. And it takes effort. And this chicken here, it's dead. Dead meat doesn't rise up. It submits to what I put in here. And when we are in the Ziploc bag and we die to our flesh, only then can God really begin to infuse us. Because this meat, if it jumps, let's run out of here. Something's not normal. This is dead chicken right here. And you know what? God wants us to be dead chicken in a Ziploc bag. But the more we die to ourselves, the more we'll be alive to Him. The more He will be able to use us. And I am telling you, I have struggled in the Ziploc. Because there are times when God didn't answer my prayers. Where things didn't work out the way I wanted them, or I thought. And I'm thinking, oh, I pray, and I fast, and I sacrifice. And God doesn't do this for me. But my timetable isn't God's timetable. Plus, God knows what's best for me. Do you know I never wanted anything to do with ministry? Because I thought all the people in ministry are poor. The missionaries, look at them, they're always asking for help. And I thought, I didn't want any of that. I didn't want any of that mess. No, sir. I wanted to live my life and have to give and have for myself. And God began to strip me. Because see, when we're naked before Him, we can't do anything but look to Him. And so my hope today is that we will begin to realize that we are in the Ziploc. That God has taken you somewhere, from somewhere, and He's bringing you closer to Him. And it's a long, winding road. It's not a 100-yard dash. God is in no hurry. He has chosen you. He has a plan for you. And if you haven't connected with Him, trust me, He wants nothing more than to embrace you. He wants more than just you knowing Him casually. He wants the intimate knowing. He wants you to know Him so that He can begin to show you His beauty. And when you recognize His beauty, it rips you of everything you have. And you see how small you really are and how much you need Him. And you begin to see people the way God sees them. And you begin to look outside of yourself onto others. And I want to tell you, this summer, there were times I thought, it's hot, and wow is out, and I don't really need to go to this Bible study. I read at home. But we had committed to meeting together. And, you know, every week I thought, I'm not going next week. Sometimes I had to tutor, though, so I couldn't. But Doreen would call, and, you know, she had this way of doing it. Hi, Miss Janet. Are you coming to Bible study? Or Julie would email and say, Janet, I hope you come because it's not the same without you. Or Debbie would say, please come. Now, how can you refuse that? That's what community does. We leave no one behind. For years, the church has left their wounded behind. Those days are over. We leave none behind. So when you don't see somebody, call them. Because you don't know what's happened. We connect with God, but then we connect with people. The two are never divorced from each other. If you love God and hate the church, evaluate the love. Because we are the church. And we are God's workmanship. And God is working on us and in us and through us to build the church. And so my prayer today, as I leave you, is that together these words will echo the longing of our hearts. Because you know what? How is the church going to win those who don't know God if we're bland? Nobody wants bland food. The only people who eat bland food are those who have some kind of medical problems, and so they can't have spicy food or flavored food. But people whose health are intact don't. Most of them eat bland food. If you are bland and flavorless, you're not going to attract anybody to the Lord. Why would people want to talk with you if you have nothing to say? And if you have nothing to say, why are they going to want what you have? And how are you going to have something to say? You have to get the Ziploc bag. Because this is where the processing takes place. And so, like the writer of this hymn, I pray that this will be our song and our cry. The writer talks about, he says, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. All of us our voices, our money, our health, our wealth, everything. We want to consecrate them to God. What is consecrating? Bringing it and making it holy, our God making it holy. We take what we have to Him, and He purifies it, all of it. So everything you have, your hands, your feet, your voice, your eyes, your homes, your cars, your talents, your gifts, your children, your husbands, your families, all of it, we give them to God. He pours Himself into us. He infuses us, and He blesses us so that everything we have is consecrated as an offering to Him. And when we get to see Him, we won't be ashamed. Father, I thank You today. I thank You that as women we can come together to tell You that we want to stay in the Ziploc bag and that we want You to infuse us with You, because what we have is not enough. We need You. Only You will satisfy us. Only You will give us what we truly need. Without You, we can do nothing. We thank You for today, Lord. Bless each woman. Bless each Bible study that will begin, each small group, each activity. And Father, we will encourage one another. Leave none behind. And look only to You. In Christ's name, amen.